Welcome to the Veterinary Success Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Douglas. We are going to jump right into the show with Dr. Cindy Barnes. Before we do, take a quick break, hear from our sponsors that help make the show possible, and then we will be right back.
If you're struggling to attract new staff or your team is experiencing burnout, pick up your phone and call Guardian Vets. Through virtual team solutions like after-hour triage, daytime virtual receptionists, callbacks, and telemedicine, Guardian Vets can help you have happy staff, happy clients, and a thriving business. Go to www.guardianvets.com and check Veterinary Success Podcast in the Where Did You Hear About Us section to get a free consultation and receive 50% off your first month of service. Don't wait. Check out guardianvets.com now.
You've heard me talk about the opportunity in urgent care. So VetCheck believes in the power of your capacity to influence your patients, patient families, and be a leader in your community. How they do this is by giving you the freedom to take ownership of your future to make the biggest impact in your patients' lives. They equip you with a turnkey opportunity to take action on the dream through a unique pathway to owning your own VetCheck Pet Urgent Care Center franchise. They provide a solution to remove obstacles like competing against corporate dollars in the community that you want to be in and having access to hospital ownership, medical directorship, and more. Also, you become a partner along the journey. A VetCheck Pet Urgent Care Center franchise is the answer. If you're interested, check out episode number 80, where I talk to Dr. Siva and he shares more about his story and the opportunity. So if this sounds like something that's interesting to you, reach out and learn how you can own your own VetCheck Pet Urgent Care Center franchise today by visiting vetcheckforpets.com, which again is vetcheckforpets.com. I'm joined by, as I said, Dr. Cindy Barnes, who is a veterinarian and founder of Shepherd Veterinary Software. She's bought, ran, and sold a GP clinic in an ER hospital. She went to Colorado State for her veterinary school after being a technician earlier in her career. And she's married with 5 kids. So as you can tell, like, life's just been very laid back, lots of extra time, very casual, right? But in all seriousness, Dr. Barnes, thank you so much for joining me. I've really been looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, likewise. I'm excited to be here. Talk to your listeners and hopefully encourage them to go out and do great things.
Absolutely. And I know some folks will be familiar with your origin story and some of the things that are going on. Others won't. So I wanted to kind of paint a picture of why a veterinarian would want to create a PIMS software company and just kind of lay the land, how that kind of all came about and where things are today with Shepherd.
Sure. Well, I didn't wake up one day and go, gosh, I think, yeah, I'm bored. I want to develop a software company and run a software company. It just kind of was out of necessity. Basically, I had a very busy emergency animal hospital, and there were things that I knew were causing roadblocks in the flow and getting clients in and out of the hospital. And I knew we were missing charges significantly. We did some audits on our books and realized we were missing about $300,000 a year in missed charges. Not the obvious stuff. It's the little stuff, the nursing care charges, injection fees, things like that. And clients would show up to pick up their animals and discharge instructions would take forever. And I'm just like, get these people out of here. And the backlog of things that just took too long. And I just thought there's got to be a better way. And that was the genesis of Shepherd. Basically, I went looking for software that did the things that I thought a software should do, and there wasn't anything on the market that did it the way I wanted it to perform. So I said, well, no one's going to create it the way it needed to be done, then I'm going to do it. And it seemed like there wasn't anything out there that was really created from the perspective of a veterinary team. Maybe it was created in some developer's desk, but who was the mind behind it? I didn't feel like it was really a veterinarian or a veterinary team, which is really what's behind Shepherd, is a veterinary team, a practicing veterinary team. I didn't feel like that was what was creating the software out there. I think it was a bunch of people that didn't have a clue of what's happening in real life on the ground floor. So that's really what the genesis of Shepherd was.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. And being able to find that kind of revenue makes the initial endeavor to say, okay, this is kind of the juice is worth the squeeze to dig in a little bit more. So that's fantastic. I did, and I told you this right before we clicked record, got a lot of people that were asking questions. I want to get into some of the different things. But before we do, when we had chatted kind of for our pre-call, you mentioned that Shepherd had just had a big kind of 2.0 overhaul. And yeah. I want to, and you mentioned a couple different things. And one of the things in my notes was, hey, there's some really cool, I think your terms, killer features that we've rolled out. I'd love to kind of unpack that and talk about some of the changes and updates and what you're excited about. And I know the team is as well.
Well, I mean, we finally got inventory out. So this has been something that our users have been asking for forever. And we wanted to deliver inventory 2 years ago, but it's such a massive feature. And we didn't want to just deliver any inventory. We really took our time and created something that was user friendly, because everyone we've talked to said, oh yeah, we've got inventory in our system, but we don't use it. It's too difficult. Pretty much everyone has inventory in their current PIM system, but no one uses it because it's too hard to implement. It's too hard to manage. It's too hard to keep up with. So we really wanted to take the time to nail that inventory so that it's really easy to implement and to maintain. So we finally got that rolled out. We've got texting features. So that goes right into the medical record. You can email directly from the medical record. This really cool feature, I know I'm going to butcher it as far as what it's called, but basically, you know, you can set up this whole system where every time you do a procedure, that can trigger another procedure to do a,
automation.
It's an automated reminders. So like you can have a whole puppy, a whole kitten wellness package that parvo shot number one and parvo shot number two and parvo shot number three, and everything is all automated. So every time you administer parvo shot number one or distemper parvo DH2PP number one, it automatically triggers a reminder for, you know, number two and number three. But you can set that up for anything in the system so that you never have to really think about things that need to be remembered and set up for, right down to surgeries and automated callbacks and suture removals and bandage changes. Everything can be set up in the back end so that it's really just foolproof. So, I mean, there's a million other things that I could talk about, but, you know, I'd really encourage people just to go in and do a demo and talk to the people that actually know what they're talking about.
Well, and I think one thing that you mentioned that was really, really cool is the ability to drive revenue with like the invoicing and the medical record and kind of that tie-in.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that. I mean, that's a core feature that we've had from day one. Like that was the first thing that I developed, and I was like, in the ER, we had all this duplicate, triplicate work that we were doing. We were creating an estimate and then coming back and I was writing out a treatment plan. Then we'd put all these treatments in. We do all the treatments and we put it in the medical record after we checked it off a piece of paper. And that's a really easy way for things to get missed. That's how everything got missed, because of human nature, right? So in Shepherd, once you create the estimate and you show it to a client, and by all means, every single client should get an estimate. I don't care if it's for a nail trim. Even the clients that say, I don't care what it costs, just do it. Like they care what it costs. I'm telling you, they have no idea. So every client should get an estimate, no matter what it's for, and have them approve it. Even if they don't want to approve it, we have digital signatures. You can manually approve it or have them sign it right on an iPad or whatever. As soon as they approve it, you can push that to the plan. So all of a sudden, that's all automated. You don't have to worry about doing anything beyond that. From that point, you can either administer all those treatments and boom, your medical record's done. It's recorded who's done it, when they've done it, timestamped it, and then it goes right to the invoice. So everything's done for you. And if you have discharge instructions attached to those treatments or to those procedures, your discharges are done. So it's like four things done at once with one click of a button. Everything's automated and all those roadblocks, those pain points are eliminated in the flow of your practice. So
yeah,
those are core features that were from version one that we of course improved in version two. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things that I know I heard loud and clear is, okay, great, all these cool features. But for me to make a switch, the last time I made a switch, it was a struggle after 6 months and I was wanting to pull my hair out. I need a little bit more patience before I bring this on. We talked a little bit about implementation and some of those things, because I think that's a huge roadblock and a hurdle for anyone to undertake a project. We're all busy, especially right now in veterinary medicine. Everyone's like, all right, we're busting the seams, we're stretched. How can I add this to the plate? Can you talk a little bit about implementation training and what that looks like? So that was one of the questions I got time and time again.
Well, I think that's a big factor in decisions that people make. Absolutely. And in making the switch, it's just something that no one wants to do. And I don't blame them. I didn't want to do it. I changed software multiple times in my practice just out of necessity, just because I just was like, this is awful software. I need something different. And because of those experiences that I had in my own practice, another key feature was whatever I create, whatever software I create absolutely has to be user-friendly right out of the box. When I put software in my own home or on my phone, when I download an app, it doesn't come with a human that comes to my house and sits next to me and trains me how to use the software. So it blows my mind that software today in veterinary practices, you have to pay someone to come into your practice and teach you how to use it, or that it's so difficult to learn that they put you through a training academy, or you have to do all of this excessive training. It's like, why can't you create software that is so intuitive and so user-friendly that someone can log on and go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh, that click here. Oh yeah, it's a soap format. I know what a soap format is. And oh, look, an RX button. That's how I create a prescription. Like, it should make sense. And that's what we did from day one. We created intuitive software that you can put into your practice. I actually put the minimum viable product, that's technical speak for us people that are in software development, MVP. I put the MVP in my practice and I pulled out my old software and I put Shepherd MVP into my practice. And I said, listen, guys, I'm not going to give you any training at all. I'm not going to teach you how to use it. I just need you to tell me where the roadblocks are and how to make it better. And my team was like, okay, Dr. Barnes, whatever you want. I mean, they're just amazing. And this is the same team that is still with Shepherd today that is your customer care team. So they understand exactly what you go through, and they're going to walk through any problems that you have and hold your hand with kid gloves. But really, it is so user-friendly because we built it from day one with that in mind. So most practices plug it in and start using it in practice with no problems on day one. With like a demo from our team prior to launch day. It's really that simple.
Well, and it makes me think of like in our own business, we use a Salesforce like specific package for financial advisors or wealth management. But to customize that stuff, there's all kinds of businesses that have been created because Salesforce is super not user-friendly unless it's customized. Yeah. And it just makes me think like software, the stuff that is so brutal to implement. And I've been there where we've tried to make a switch from one thing to the other. Yeah. It's like, I'm not stupid. At least I hope I'm not stupid, right? And I can't figure it out. I'm like, this is not intuitive. Like, this is what I wanted to do and it doesn't do that. And I'm like, who the hell designed this? I'm like,
it doesn't work. It's so true. I do a lot of relief work now that I don't own a practice, and I'll go and I'll use these other software programs. And I'm like, I developed my own software company and I ran it for years and I don't know how to do a prescription in this program. I've tried everything. Help! Someone tell me how to do a prescription. And they're like, well, there's like 10 different clicks and it's behind this button and behind this drop down, and it makes no sense.
Well, and it goes back to if you are, again, everyone's struggling to find help, and sometimes it's getting people that are maybe outside the veterinary industry and you need to train them. Like if you have a system that's so darn complex, how much longer is that going to take to train them and get them up to speed versus something that maybe is a little bit more intuitive? I think that makes some sense. A couple of other questions like customization and like just reporting. So, I mean, you think about your PIMS being like, okay, this is kind of the heartbeat of what's going on where I can see stuff. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like and what the user experience is there?
As far as reporting goes?
Yeah. And just being able to customize if they're doing something a little different.
So we've got tons of reports. Obviously, you can run all the standard reports that you can do. And most people, that's fine. But in the back end, you can pull all of the numbers. If you're really good with spreadsheets, you can pull all of that information into a spreadsheet. We've made it super available. And you can pull all that into a spreadsheet and manipulate all the data all you want. So, and I don't think that's typical in most softwares. Most people don't have that ability, but if you have the ability or you have someone that you work with that has that ability, you absolutely can customize that all day long because you own the data, which is a whole nother can of worms, but that data is yours to customize. And we certainly provide you with some training and resources if you need help with certain data that you're looking for, we can help you tweak that spreadsheet.
Yeah, you kind of crack the door, and I'm going to knock and see if you'll want to entertain this conversation or if you'll just say, nope, move on. But the owning the data part, why is that super important? And if you want to open that can of worms a little bit, let's go there.
Well, we just thought it was really important for every practice to know that, don't quote me on this. You are going to quote me because we're recorded here, but
disclaimer, qualifier. Yeah, we can put all that.
All of right the here. Above. I think that the majority of practice management systems basically state that everything that's in the system is owned by the practice management software company. So the PIMS owns the data. And that's not the way it is with Shepherd. So the practice, that's their data. They own it with Shepherd. So we don't own the data. We don't sell the data. We don't do anything outside of Shepherd with your data, period. And the reason why some of these other companies own the data is because they utilize that data for other type of marketing and other type of.
Yeah. If you're rolled up and maybe owned by other bigger organizations, that data can be useful.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, but with Shepherd, 100%, we don't utilize the data for anything. We are independently owned. We are privately owned. I know there's a lot of talk in the space that we're owned by some big corporation. No, we're not owned by some big corporation. It's a privately owned company. So we're still one of the few privately owned PIMS out there. And your data is safe with us. We're on Amazon Web Services. It's as secure as it's going to get in the World Wide Web.
Yep.
So, for those of you that don't know what WWW stands for.
Yeah. One of the things I talked about in the 2022 predictions of just me kind of rambling to have a fun episode where I can just talk about different things was data privacy, more from a personal perspective, but same with the business. And I think that's huge. And more people, I think, are going to continue to realize that is a question they need to be asking. Like, okay, where is this data going? Where is this being stored? And how do I know where it's at? So I think that's a huge thing that most, that was not on the questions, right? No one asked that. But they should. Maybe it's a good thing to at least understand with whoever you do choose to work with or who you're working with now, who owns the data? Just ask the question. I think it's important.
Who
so
owns
thank
the
you.
Data? And what are they doing with my data? Because it's valuable. You know, I mean, think about all that information. They're using it. They're using it for third-party marketing. They're using it for all kinds of stuff. So it's important to ask those questions. Yeah.
Yeah. And unlike social media where, okay, it's free. So you know, you're the product, you're literally paying and then they're still using the data as well. So I think that brings in other challenges. So important thing to ask. On payments, I had a couple different questions on payments. And again, if some of the stuff you're like, hey, that's part of the team, they'll chat through it. Text to pay and then just integrated payments. What does that look like and how do people work with Shepherd there?
Yeah, we have fully integrated payments. I believe they're launching text to pay here pretty quickly. So we work with one integrated payment processor and we call it Shepherd Payments. So it's one fully integrated payment processor that we work with. So, you know, we will match whatever rate. If you have a really good rate currently and you come over to us, we will match that rate, if not beat it. So work with our team and talk to them. And most of the time our rates will beat whatever rate you currently have. But if you've got some rocking rate, we'll match it.
Cool. Yeah, I love that. Not going to get into the area, but I think merchant services and just charging and the cost of all that stuff is such an interesting area to dig into that I don't think a lot of people think about, but there's so much happening there behind the scenes of, you know, that's just revenue that you're giving away, right? Or that's an expense from your profit margin. So good thing to understand. And that kind of actually builds on when you talked about text to pay is coming. One of the questions I had was just the idea around innovation and deployment cycles. Is it monthly updates, annually? Is it, hey, as we get really good brainy people that have awesome ideas, we just like, what does that look like for Shepherd?
So full disclosure, I have kind of taken a step back. I'm more of an advisor for Shepherd at this point. I meet with them weekly. I more advise on features. You know, obviously they still want to make sure that anything that they release is gone through the lens of a veterinarian and that their big picture is on track with my vision for the company, but I'm doing other things with my career. I'm always constantly moving forward and innovating and doing great things. So they've been great in letting me kind of explore and do other things with my career. So I'm still very much involved with Shepherd, but not as involved as I was when I was CEO. So I stepped down as CEO middle of last year. And so just full disclosure there, I'm not as day-to-day operations I used to be. But we are on, I believe it's still a two to three week sprints. So we release every 2 to 3 weeks. And I'm pretty sure that's still the same. So every 2 to 3 weeks, we are releasing new features. And, you know, I mean, most people don't understand how software development works, but that could be a sprint cycle. That could be cleaning up bugs. That could be a brand new feature set. A sprint cycle could mean a lot of different things. So it doesn't mean there's a new brand new feature every 2 weeks. And it also doesn't mean that something like inventory is going to be released in 2 weeks. You know, something like inventory could take 6 months or a year. So each feature, you know, a single feature could be a 2 week feature. It could be a 6 month feature. It just depends. But we work in 2 week sprints. So we're trying to always release something of significance, whether that's fixing a bug or some little new little thing that people are asking for, because there's always something people are asking for. I used to have a spreadsheet that had, and I kept track of it because people can send us a little request down in the bottom right corner. We have intercom and they send us requests all the time. So I'd keep track of it. And I think I, at one point, had 450 requests. And to that point, I will say that this is how some of these legacy software programs became the behemoths that they are, because you have to be very diligent in not executing all of those requests. So that I have 10 different ways to do one thing. I'm like, nope. We're going to keep it simple, stupid. Okay. We're going to do it one way. We're going to do it one way correctly. And if it doesn't work for you, sorry, either figure it out or do it a different way, or I don't know, but you're trying to do it some other way that is not efficient. And I'm not going to change my software and spend development time to make your inefficient way of doing things for you work. So it's hard. It's hard being someone who's in the industry and everyone knows me and they have access to me. And then they're like, can you please do this? Can you please do this? I'm like, no, sorry. I really like you, but I'm not going to do that for you, because I'm trying not to be what everyone else has done with software, which is make this big bulky machine. I want to keep it clean. I want to keep it simple. So it is user-friendly and intuitive.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point where feedback can be super dangerous. I can remember completely different. We were changing our logo. We had 4 different themes and you send it out to people and everyone's got a million ideas and changes. And it's like, okay, we kind of see a little bit of a trend, but shoot, there's so much noise here that's not helpful that you can't listen and please everyone. And that's a dangerous, dangerous spot to be in where you're trying to just say yes to everything. Because to your point, that's how you get 10 ways to do something. And then it's clunky and weird.
Well, it also makes it very difficult to train, because if there's 10 ways to do things and you're trying to train someone, you've got one person in the team that's training it this way and you've got another person in the team that's training it this way, and they're both training it a different way. And then the person in the middle is like, well, this person trained me this way and this person trained me this way. And so it's not effective. So we try really hard to just keep it simple and effective. And sometimes people get frustrated and they're like, that's not going to work for me. And we're like, okay, well, I understand. Where to send your records? We just know we can't please everybody. And it's hard. We don't lose very many practices, if at all, hardly ever. I mean, we have a very, very, very tiny churn rate, which is that technical jargon for people that leave. Like, very tiny churn rate. But if they do, it's because we're not bending over backwards to meet every single need. And we can't, when we look at the bigger picture, we're building for a whole industry, not for one practice.
Well, I think that's just really good advice in a lot of things, of like, even in your hospital, you have someone that wants you to do something differently. And it's like, hey, we appreciate that feedback. Thank you. But no, we're not going to change our whole entire business to please you. And we've ran into that on the Vinceer side with people like, hey, this contract, I don't like this language. It's like, well, I'm not the attorney. I didn't draft it. I can tell you why it's there, but we're not going to change it. And I'm sorry if that's a no-go. And we had that happen and it sucks, but we're not going to change all that for one person. And then you just can't do that.
Exactly.
Churn rate in that whole conversation, that actually was one thing that someone had asked. And I don't know if you can share this or if you can just say, hey, this is kind of where it's at or an estimate, but just kind of usage, amount of hospitals, or is it majority ER? Is it specialty? Is it GP? Do you have any sort of thoughts or comments? And that maybe that's an unfair question, again, knowing kind of where you sit.
We've got a nice group of practices using the software. You know, we just don't talk about how many practices use our software. None of the software companies do, but we're growing pretty rapidly right now. Once we released 2.0, all of a sudden things have taken off tremendously. We had a really good, successful VMX. And so we're hoping to have a really great, successful Western Vet Conference as well. We're having a big cocktail party on Monday. So anyone's interested in the software, contact me. I'll get you a VIP access to the cocktail party as well at the conference. But what was the other part of your question?
Oh, it was just ER, GP, specialty. Do you know who kind of uses it? Is there anywhere where that's better, anywhere that it's worse?
We have such a mix. It's, and you know, I'm going to toot my own horn, but I mean, I've created a software that doesn't pigeonhole you into a certain type of practice. We have large animal equine practices on it. Got all these standard templates for colic exams and pre-purchase exams for equine practices and dental exams for equine practices for when they're floating teeth and whatnot. We have lots of ERs on it. I mean, I think the majority of it is going to be small animal general practices. That's going to be the bulk of our practices. But yeah, we've got it all.
Very cool. Last question, philosophy on third-party collaboration. How do you collaborate with kind of outside other vendors and how do they kind of plug into the Shepherd ecosystem?
Yeah, so we've got an open API now. So we love collaborating with third-party vendors for sure. We've got quite a few already. We're on a integration kick right now. Like we're integrating with everybody at the moment, but we're fully integrated with IDEX and Antech and Zoetis. We're working on integration with VetSource and a couple of other big ones. So stay tuned, but we've got an open API. So we want to plug into any third-party vendors that our users use and want to use.
Cool. Those were the questions on the software. And I know that was like rapid fire. So thank you. I appreciate the feedback there. And I think it also helps just as an owner or someone that is thinking through this, because it is a huge decision on what is the PIM software you're going to use. Like that is foundational for so much else that's happening. So you need to make that decision strategically and not lightly. And so like having information is there. And again, I would recommend everyone kind of do the research, find what fits. And again, like you said, Cindy, if it's not the right fit, that's great. We are going to be a good fit for a lot of people and can't please everybody. But one thing that is really cool over the course of your career, and you talked about it, the team has followed you from the hospital to the software company. And I wanted to chat a little bit about your experiences for a successful practice. And you shared kind of two words. Well, I think three. So there's three key things that I wrote down from our conversation, which was culture, team, and basically high functioning. And I wanted to kind of unpack those things. I know there's a lot and there's probably some good stories, but what do you view and how do you view leadership? Because it's no secret that in veterinary medicine, that's been a challenge.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the big elephant in the room right now with vet med. Gosh, you know, I think about it all the time, especially even now, like I go to a practice and I do relief work and the experience I have with the team, it's a vast difference than like maybe another vet that does regular relief there. They don't have that same experience, you know, maybe they have a very negative experience or idea of the team that works there. And I'm like, is this the same team? Are we working with the same people? And I think it all just boils down to respect. You start with having great respect for the team you work with and really honoring what they bring to the ecosystem in the practice. Like everyone has such a valid role in a practice and everyone brings something to that ecosystem. And if one person isn't there, it falls out, that ecosystem gets upset and falls apart basically. And so I can't do it alone. I can't run the practice alone. I can't do surgery alone. I can't manage critical cases alone. I can't even place an IV catheter alone. I don't want to place an IV catheter. That's what my technicians are for. Like, so I have great respect for my team. So it starts with respect and honor. And then from there, it moves on to creating an environment where everyone feels comfortable to ask questions. I think that's really, really important. I always make sure when I go into a practice, I do a lot of relief work now. I make sure everyone knows, like, hey, I'm all about asking questions. So if there's something that you don't understand, or if there's a treatment or a protocol that I'm ordering that you don't understand, please, please, please come to me and say, hey, what the hell is this? I don't understand it. Or what's your thinking here? Ask me a million questions, like having that door open so that people feel comfortable asking questions, and then educating your team. Education is huge. And as an owner, I always sent my team out to continuing education. You know, they went to Western, they went to BMX, local conferences if they were moms and didn't want to travel away from their kids, whatever. But I brought teams in to train my team. You know, Kenichiro Yagi would come in and train my team on advanced procedures. So investing in your team so that they feel like they are a really important part of the success of your practice. When your team feels invested in and heard and honored and important, they buy into the practice. And when they buy into the practice, they own it. They go into that exam room, and that is conveyed to the client. That client can feel that they own that practice. They communicate that estimate, that treatment plan to that client with authority. And it translates into more approved estimates, higher value for the clients. The clients feel like that they're getting more value for their dollar. And basically, the team, there's a connection there. And I think that's why my team came with me from California to Arizona, and then from the ER to Shepherd. And even though that I've taken a step back from Shepherd, they're still there keeping the company going, and they've bonded and created their own ecosystem within Shepherd. And they have completely bought into what I have built at Shepherd, and they're moving forward with that legacy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate that. I think so many themes that people will talk about, like leadership, it's not difficult, but it's not easy. Like, it's one of those things, like, if you do these things, you can be successful. It's just hard to consistently do that day in and day out and keep that element moving forward, because it's not the medical clinical knowledge. It's the people piece of it that's so tricky, so tricky.
It's the soft skills, but it's so important, because it really does make your life so much easier in the practice, so that you can focus on medicine, so you can focus on interpreting those lab results and communicating with that client better, and just having that, not being so stressed and having that patience with really stressed out or anxious client.
Is there anything Shepherd related, leadership related, veterinary medicine related, just life related that you would like to share or want to riff on or chat through?
Oh my gosh.
I'm opening Pandora's box here, so you can go anywhere you want with that.
I mean, it's so funny. This is the third podcast I've done this week. I don't know why all of a sudden there's like all these podcasts that are happening, but it's interesting because each one have been so distinctly different in what we've talked about. But for me, the theme is always the same. Like, I love this profession. There's so much opportunity in this profession to do so many different things. And I feel really sad inside when people feel stuck, when people are like, I've been at this job for 10 years and this owner is just wearing on me, and this is the final straw. And it's like, if you feel stuck in your job, if you feel unfulfilled in your job, there's so much opportunity out there. There's a whole plethora of opportunity in this industry. Like, the opportunity just to be a veterinarian right now, there's a million jobs out there, not literally a million, but there's like, everyone's looking for a veterinarian. Name your salary, name your demands, basically. veterinarians are in demand. Like, you name your career. So number one, you can find joy in your career. You don't need to be stuck in wherever you are right now if you're unhappy. Like, everyone needs to go out and make themselves happy. The students that are really stressing about their student loan debt, don't be stressed about your student loan debt. This profession is exploding. There's so much great opportunity out there. Don't worry about the debt. It'll take care of itself. You get with great financial advisors, start making great money right out of school, put some money in a savings account, or not a savings account, in a like a money market account, and make that money grow at a high interest rate, and then start paying off your debt over time. Build businesses, buy practices, find some innovative product that this industry needs. Don't worry about not being able to afford to buy a practice. I hear doctors all the time like, I have to take out a loan and it's going to be millions of dollars. Am I doing the right thing? Yes, yes. Go and take out that multi-million dollar loan and buy a practice and build yourself a legacy. It's worth it. You are going to make a lot of money and you're going to create an amazing practice for your community and you're going to build a great team. And like, there's so much opportunity out there when people really are down and out about this industry. It breaks my heart. And I'm like, please send me a message. Send me a message on Instagram, Cindy Barnes DVM. Message me on LinkedIn. And I talk to people all the time one-on-one and just say, listen, if I can help you in any way, figure out how to fund that business, not personally, but I will help you figure out how to fund that business, figure out what to do in your life, figure out where to go with your next career move. I'm happy to do that, but there's so much opportunity. There's no reason to be unhappy in this career. There's no reason to take your own life because of this career. And there's no reason to think that things are really awful because you have so much student loan debt. I had $437,000 in student loan debt that I paid off in 5 years. I sold my practice to pay off that student loan debt. But when I bought my practice, I had bad credit. I had $360,000 in student loan debt. I had a $100,000 business loan from my first business that I started right out of vet school. I didn't own a house. Like, the opportunity is there. So don't be afraid to ask for help.
That's beautiful. I love that. And thank you for all that. There's so much there to kind of dig into and pull apart. And I think it is also encouragement. I think there are so many people that just need encouragement at times, like, hey, like, this is good. And I've talked to, similar to you, I talked to a lot of people in this industry, both veterinarians and those that are kind of in it as well. And it's like, man, if I could just explain how huge the opportunity is to people, like, from what I see, right, from my vantage point, I'm like, wow, this is an awesome spot and moment in time to be a veterinarian. So I agree with that. And this is something I did not prompt you for. This might be the hardest question right here, which is, you can ask me anything you want. If you have anything, any curiosity, things that you want to pose, I do a lot of questions on this podcast. So then I always turn it around to guests at the end. If they have something they want to ask, go for it. And it can be anything. I've been asked Marvel characters, tattoos, like all kinds of funny things.
Yeah. Tattoos. Now, so I have 5 kids and 3 of them have tattoos. There's like working on sleeves. You have tattoos?
I don't.
You don't have any tattoos?
No,
oh man,
no.
I would have guessed.
No,
I would have guessed.
Is it the beard? Is that what makes you think that the tattoos would be there?
I'm like, yeah, you look like a hipster.
Not a hipster. That's so funny. I'm really not a hipster.
You got the hipster beard.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Seattle, so you know,
you
fit right in.
Yeah.
Where are you anyway?
So I live in Noblesville, Indiana, so a suburb of Indianapolis.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm born and raised in rural Indiana on a hog farm, and now I live kind of central Indiana. So, but yep.
Very
outside of the beard, very, I would say probably pretty boring, candidly. The beard for me was more of a thing to just be different because I worked at Merrill Lynch for 3.5 years where it was suit and tie, clean shaven, like you had to like have a certain look. And I think it, to me, it was like, I don't want to do that anymore. And I want to do it differently. And now that the podcast artwork has me with a beard on it, right? I kind of feel like it's a brand because I've joked.
It is a brand.
I was like, it's kind of a brand thing. No, if I shave it, no one's going to know who I am and walk around and be like,
lost Buffy.
So you really need to help these students understand that they need to take their money, put it in some sort of account that's going to make money and earn interest and earn revenue or whatever. You're the financial advisor, but I mean, they can take that money, you know, they could get a high paying job, live on very minimum, take all that extra cash, don't put it in the savings account, put it in an account that's going to make them money. And that's how they're going to pay off their student loan debt. They don't want to go be the practice owner and take on all that responsibility. There's still options for them to pay off their student loan debt other than just paying the government.
Yep.
So this is perfect.
Well, and even again, if ownership's not the thing for you, and again, this podcast does talk a lot about ownership and why it's a great idea. We both see it. We both agree on that. But there are awesome opportunities with corporate groups to help pay off student loans as well. I mean, if you saw offers and things, and I interviewed Stacey Purcell, and she was talking about, you know, just some of the benefits of what new offers are looking like, because it is so darn competitive to get talent today. And so if I'm young, I'm a good doctor, talented, and I'm willing to go wherever there's demand, you can go get a lot of your loans paid off without having to work on paying those. And so like that's coming and that's here. And so it's all, what are you solving for? What do you want? What do you want out of your career? Going back to opportunities.
You can write your own ticket. I'm telling you, veterinarians need to understand that they are the commodity right now. You can write your own ticket. And that's kind of what we're doing. I'm starting a new practice group, and it's a de novo group. And we're trying to figure out what we can do to retain veterinarians. Obviously, we're going to make it so they want to stay with us, but we want to make it lucrative for them as well, so that they're going to make money, but they're going to make money while they stay with us.
Do you want to plug the de novo group, or is it too early?
It's too early.
Okay.
It's too early.
Podcast
yeah.
number
it's
two.
Too early.
All right.
That's correct. Have me back.
All right.
And then I will.
Perfect. No, I'm interested.
But everyone will want to come work for me because it's an amazing place to work.
Yep. Again, going back to brand, you've done a great job at building that brand of kind of who you are, what you do, what you stand for. And I think that, again, in a world where, you know, human nature is, narratives are really important. So what's the why behind it? Who are you as an individual? All super important stuff. But for information on you, you talked about Instagram, you talked about LinkedIn. I'll have those posts or those links in the show notes. On Shepherd, best way to reach out, learn more. Where would you send
people? Yeah, just go to shepherd.vet. I'm surprised at about how many people can't spell shepherd. It's just like the dog, shepherd. So shepherd.vet, there's a little icon down in the lower right-hand corner. Just click on that icon and say, hey, saw Dr. Barnes on a podcast. Want to learn more? And there's real humans that actually answer you.
That's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Real people that you can get a hold of. Thank you for the time. Really, really appreciate it. Great to connect. Enjoy WVC and look forward to chatting again in the future on some of the stuff you're working on.
Oh, it's been fun. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to today's show. The comments made on today's show should not be taken as investment, tax, or legal advice. All comments are for educational purposes only. You should consult your team before implementing anything. Isaiah Douglas is a partner of Vinceer Wealth Management. Isaiah is registered in the state of Indiana, California, Texas. The biggest compliment you can give to this podcast is to share it with a friend. Reviews help the show get found, and Apple Podcasts is the platform that predominantly is how people listen to the show. If you have 3 to 5 minutes, you like the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts, give us an honest rating and review. That'll help more people find the show. For all of today's links and information, head over to veterinariansuccesspodcast.com. There you can subscribe via your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss another episode. Finally, if you'd like more information, insights, and have the ability for your voice to be heard and interact with show guests, join the private Facebook group. You can go to the Veterinary Success Podcast on Facebook or head over to the veterinariansuccesspodcast.com, scroll all the way to the bottom where it says about your host, and then click on the Facebook icon. That'll bring you into the Facebook group. I'll approve you. You'll be in. And then I'd love to hear your questions, feedback, and anything that you'd like to see added to the show. So with all that, thank you so much for listening. I'll be talking again to you soon.